Greetings and salutations, everyone. This is AC2GS. My name is Roy, and this is Limark Technical Net. Limark Technical Net has been going strong for 40-odd years, mostly under the guidance of Dick K2RIW, who became a silent key about 2 years ago, unfortunately. But we keep it alive every Sunday night at 8 p.m. We all tune in, and we all talk and learn and teach and do all kinds of fun things. And I appreciate everyone coming for this, our Easter Passover edition of the Limark Technical Net. Let me drop for a second, and then I will tell you the usual links to keep in mind. Okay, if you need to reach me, you can't do it on the radio, then email is an excellent method. The email address is mailbag@ac2gs.com. That would be either to ask mailbag questions, where you can't ask the questions on the radio, or to discuss a topic that you would like to discuss, that you would like to be part of a discussion, or that you'd like to hear discussed. Or if you have a technical puzzle, we have a couple of, we have one technical puzzle tonight that I've been dragging out for 3 weeks now that hopefully we'll be able to get to, and other things. So if you have technical puzzles and you'd like to share them, and I can kind of fit them into the usual mold of the puzzles that I offer, that would be a great thing for you to do. Again, the email address is mailbag@ac2gs.com. Also, if you will want me to pass on a question to Paul, NASA or space-related, you can send it to me, or you can send it directly to him. His email address is spacenetreport@gmail.com. I have a link page with all kinds of interesting articles and illustrations. Some have to do with discussions I hope we'll have tonight. And it's up 24/7, so if you have a chance, just type into your browser roy.ac2gs.com, and that'll bring you to the link page. You can get to our little chat room. Lately, it's been rather active, so come join us. You can just get there by typing into your browser chat.ac2gs.com, and that'll bring you there. I have an audio stream of the Technical Net and of Glen Oaks Repeater. I try to keep it going 24/7 as best I can, so if you ever are out of radio distance, but have an internet access, you type into your browser technet.ac2gs.com, and that'll bring you an audio stream. And every week I like to remind people Mike KC2NJI has a great archive of these technical nets going as far back as September of 2006. His site is amateurradio.tv. He has over 1 million visitors, so make it 1,000,001. Let me drop for a second and I'll tell you our plans for tonight. Okay, it's going to be a standard edition. Hopefully, people who have amateur radio-related questions, preferably short questions rather than long topics, will give me their first name and their call sign, and I'll put them on the list to be followed by people who have longer planned discussions about topics they would like to discuss or comment upon. And then finally, when we run out of amateur radio-related questions, we'll basically open the floor to any science or technology-related questions. I'm game if you're game. We'll even discuss medicine if you're interested, but keep in mind we do not diagnose nor treat, but we will give general comments about medical issues if you have any questions along those lines. We have a guest discussion tonight, Ed WB2EAV. Last week he gave a wonderful talk in front of the club. I haven't checked the YouTube yet to see if it's gone live, but I'm looking forward to that. He's going to tell us about an interesting QST article that we both read, and I'm sure many of you read, and discuss the physics involved and his thoughts and aspirations with that design. So I'm looking forward to that. Then I have that little puzzle I've been holding on to. And then by about 10:15, Paul, WS2N, will do the SpaceNet report. That'll take us approximately to 11 p.m. and I will return and tie a bow on it and wish you all well and call it a week. So that's the plan if the laws of physics allow me. Repeaters work, propagation works, radios work, all kinds of fun stuff works. So with that in mind, if there's anyone out there who has any questions of a technical nature, please give me your first name and your call sign.
Kilo Foxtrot 2, Uniform Romeo. Name is John.
John, can you give me your call sign one more time?
Sure. Kilo Foxtrot 2, Uniform Romeo. Name is John.
Okay, very good, John. I have you down. Anyone else want to put their name on the list?
MT2G. My name is Alex.
Okay, Alex, could you give me your call sign in phonetics, please?
Roger, my call sign, November Tango 2 Golf, MT2G.
Okay, very good, Alex. Anyone else want to put their name on the list for tonight? Any technical questions, science-related questions, what have you?
KD2NFJ, antenna question.
Okay, very good. Sam recognized. So we have John, we have Alex, we have Sam. Anyone else want to put their name down on the list for tonight?
Dean, KC2ZQL.
Joe.
Okay, Gene, can you give me your call sign one more time?
KC2ZQL.
Okay, someone ID'd as Joe, but I didn't get a call sign. So, Joe, what's your call sign?
02 Mike Uniform Foxtrot.
Okay, can you give me your prefix one more time?
KO2 Mike Uniform Foxtrot.
Okay, we got Joe. Anyone else on the list for tonight? Give me your first name and your call sign. Okay, very good. This is a good list, and I'm sure there'll be a few more people later on. First on my list for tonight is John, the KF2UR. What's your question or your topic or your comment for tonight, John?
Yes, KF2UR. What I'd like to ask is, does anybody know where to get the insulators for a antenna that needs to be insulated? It's going to be a vertical. And I ran out of those insulators. I've just seen a few of them. I just want to know if somewhere I can get it locally, because they're charging like $10 if you can, for tax, for shipping, for anything else. I haven't found a place to look for it yet. Back to you. WA2CDL with two things.
Yes, Andy.
Okay, I just wanted to check in because I was on the phone. I'm listening in the background, but I'm working. I got stuff to do for work. So they will not be in the Andy's Corner tonight, but I'm working on having one soon. In May, which should be a good month because of NearFest coming up. And I'll say hello to KF2UR. I'm just wondering, what kind of insulators are you talking about? Are you talking about a dipole egg insulator, like a porcelain or glass type? Is that what you mean? Because if that's what you need, I got hundreds of them.
I need like four of them. That's all you need. I got a few, but it's a vertical. I forget the name. It's an old brand, but I guess it's a new antenna. And I had to put some guy wires up on top of it so it doesn't break. Back to you.
Okay, excuse for the interruption. I was confused when you said vertical. When I think of insulators, I think of a dipole that's horizontally mounted. So you need four of those egg-type insulators to support an antenna vertically? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's not a iron, not two pieces of wire. I got on the antenna, Hustler. It's a HF antenna, 24 feet long.
Okay, so what are the insulators doing then? What's that for? Because I don't understand that.
To It's just guy wire, so it doesn't break. You said you have to put a, you have to put a 20. Two rings up. Let's call them, there's six of them in there for coils. And they go from 10 to 1 to 80 meters. And you have to, the whole thing is radiating. And it's not actually touched the ground unless you have ground radials beneath it. And that's what you say you have to do, but I don't have enough insulators because I got to put like four of them down. And I want to insulate it completely so it doesn't affect the antenna at all. And I guess I got to put guy wires for the rest of that stuff. Not guy wires, but the antennas for the ground. So back to you. I probably confused it too much anyway, but back to you, Andy. KFDR.
All right, I don't want to take up a lot of time on that technet, but I'm confused. I know that antenna, and I know how it's designed and how it's mounted, so I don't understand what the insulators are for. But do me a favor, because I have, what the point is, I have egg insulators, if that's what you're looking for. So if you need those, I have plenty of them. So you know what you do? Look me up on QRZ, send me an email with your number, I'll call you, and then we'll talk, okay? We'll do it that way.
Okay, yeah, it recommends you do it this way, right? But I was going to use nylon ones, but I was talking to into ION. He said you should really use the metal ones, and I don't have enough insulators to do it that way because the last several antennas I put up there, they were destroyed. Some of them had guy wires beside it. You still worried, so it. So this was supposed to be good, and we'll see how it works, okay. I'll try to call you, Andy. That'd be great. KF2R. Back to you.
My understanding is that antenna is a self-supporting vertical antenna, and the coils you're talking about are the traps, because it's a multi-band antenna. So I don't know what you're trying to support. It's supposed to be self-supporting, ground-mounted, as a ground-mounted vertical. That's what I understand, unless you're doing something different. But again, just tell me on the... I'll tell you on the phone. Okay, my point is I have egg insulators if that's what you want. See you later. Thanks. Roy, back to you. Thanks for letting me in. I'm just listening in the background, and I got to get back to work. WHSTDO. To let you know.
Okay, so enter it, Andy. Yeah, it does recommend it right in the manual to, put guys on it because it'll turn into a pretzel. So let me turn it back to the guy who running the show. This is KFDR.
Okay, very good. This is AC2GS. My name is Roy. So Jeff told you not to use guy ropes? I mean, I've used guy ropes. You don't have to worry about insulators. You don't have to worry about things snapping in cold weather and such. And depending upon the thickness of the guy wire, I guess. But I'm curious why he felt that guy ropes are insufficient.
Interaction. What is the model number of the Tesla?
It's the FT6, something like that. Got it right in front of your papers. Where are they? Yes, it's the F6 TTP, something like that. It's hold on. I'll go get it downstairs. KF2R.
Well, once again, this is AC2GS. Let me fill the empty space. Waiting for John to get the literature. I don't know if any of you guys get QSC. I hope a lot of you do, because it's always good to support the ARRL. They have terrible paper stock this month. They sent an email out, which I did bother to read, apologizing, but having not read it, I emailed them and said, what the heck's going on? And they just kind of reiterated that due to supply problems, the paper stock had to be an emergency batch that wasn't to their likings either. So if you're out there and you got your brand new shiny May 2022 QSC, say, take a look at the pages. It looks like a telephone book. Not in width, but just that kind of cheap paper that's almost see-through.
KF, you are. I'm back.
Okay, I've got the antenna, but I don't see the insulators you're talking about. It's a vertical antenna.
I don't give you anything insulators. They don't give any guy wires. They don't supply that. They tell you how to use it, put ground wires in. But they had to say, so you recommend that you go to about the middle and put a guy. They said the 20 meter band, you should put it right there. That should be guide. I had the last two, I had several antennas actually, verticals that have been destroyed. So I try to do it better each time. And they recommended doing it, so that's what I'm going to do.
That's where I'm going to send you the email with that antenna.
Okay, I mean, I imagine it depends on your wind conditions. It sounds like it's a very long antenna, and if you live in particularly windy environments and are very concerned that the wind load is going to be sufficient to cause problems, I don't see anything terrible in supporting it with some non-insulating material, which is, again, why, I don't know, I'm not quite sure. Good quality rope is rather strong. I use Mastrant. I think it's imported from Italy. They come in different thicknesses, so different tensile strengths. They're flexible and don't get affected by weather conditions, and they're UV protected. So I tend to prefer them over wires, but again, different strokes for different folks.
Yeah, I was going to put nylon ones. I actually have, I remember once I bought them from R&L Electronics, and they cost like $10. But $11 for shipping, how about that? Yeah, the shipping prices are outrageous right now. But yeah, they do recommend, well, I don't know if you know Jeff, N2ION. He said I shouldn't use the nylon ones. I should really use metal stuff. I have it, but I'm just missing from it isolated. But you can't make that not isolated because it affects the antenna. That's what they said, so that's what I'm doing. But I was just looking to get insulated, that's all.
Interesting. You should have it now, Mr. Roy.
Okay. Yeah, it's a Hustler 6. TV, trap vertical. And that's it. I'm back to net, KFDR.
Well, especially again because, you know, this is not a structural component for, say, a tower, a base of an antenna. This is something really close to the antenna. So, you know, messing around with conductive material close to a radiating antenna, I don't know. Personally, again, I would go, you know, unless there's something I'm totally unaware of, I would go with something that's fully insulated itself, you know, standard a guy rope. I don't know. I'm taking a look at the article, and there's a whole bunch of things that it mentions. I wish I could read, talk, and think simultaneously, and you know, they show a nice little picture of it unsupported, but again, I could sort of understand where there's probably some little footnote that says if you live in a very windy environment and deeply concerned that you can fix it more sturdily with some guy ropes. But I know certainly that, as Andy mentioned, he has lots and lots and lots of porcelain and probably glass egg insulators. I don't know where you could pick them up locally because nowadays there's very few retail outlets available. Everything is mail order, and I realize that the shipping is going to cost you. I'm an Amazon Prime guy, so I tend to buy a lot of things through Amazon and thankfully don't have to pay the exorbitant unit-by-unit shipping. But I'm sure Andy would be more than happy to give you a bunch in his, that's sitting around in his garage.
Oh, that's great. Okay, that's what I want to do, but I'm trying to find that antenna where it says it on, if you want to look, and it says definitely to put the guy wires, because you can't read and talk at the same time. How about that? Yeah, I've lost so many antennas. R7, Titan TX, and a few others. Verticals turn into pretzels. So I have a beam. I wish I could use the beam, but the XYL isn't like it's too big. I'm wondering if it's a vertical. But yeah, Jeff said you really should use wire because it's better. I said, okay. So I had to get the insulator so I can use it. I have the wire already. And I have everything except for the isolators. I like that. Isolate both sides. Back to you.
Yeah, definitely if you're going to use that isolated with an insulator of some kind. I'm looking through the page that Wesley sent me that the pictures don't demonstrate it, but the guy writes down, let's see, in addition to the antenna itself, I purchased the following components, accessories, and special tools, and one of them was a guying kit. So, again, not quite sure exactly where, but I assume it's sort of optional. It depends upon how lucky you feel. Going back to that old movie. So I wish you good luck with it, John. Again, if you're set upon the wire guy wires instead of guy ropes, and you don't want to buy it from some mail order house, I'm sure Andy would be more than happy to give you a few of his massive supply of them. So I wish you good luck on it, and if you have the opportunity, come back and tell us how it works for you.
Okay, I'll do that. I have probably a couple of weeks I'll have it up. Just wait for Jeff, he's going to help me. Because I need two people, because it's like 24 feet long. And it's only 17 pounds, but it's very wieldy. But the amount of wind we're having around here, I'm not going to stand there holding it by myself. So, okay, well, thank you very much for listening to me. And I'll be listening back to you, but not right away. So say 73, and I'll be listening to you. Thanks for picking me up, KFDR.
Okay, very good, John. Good luck, and keep in touch. Alex, N2PJ, what's your question? NT2J, I'm sorry. What's your question or comment or topic for tonight?
AC2GF, Roy, and I'm November Tango 2 Golf, Alex. Good evening, Roy. Thank you. Nice to meet you this evening. So first I will introduce myself. I am member of Limark Club, and also I am member of Army Mars community of Department of Defense. And now we are looking to extend our net with amateur stations, and I see that Limark is a very good net to expand our net. And in case of emergency, I am asking if you will ready to exchange information with our stations. So we will just ask simple questions, and we will need some answers. Over.
Well, I'm not quite sure. Is this something that you are focusing on the technical net here, or more the general repeater for the club?
Yes, now I have only a couple of questions. If your repeater has a battery backup in case of emergency, and also about your station, if your station can work on HF, if you can work in 60 meters channel 1, and if you can work with Winding in case of emergency. Over.
Okay, the technical crew of the repeater know better than I. Now, again, I'm a little confused, because it sort of sounds like you're asking about my shack as opposed to the repeater.
I'm asking about repeater and also about your station, because you have a Sunday net, and you host Sunday net, and it's the best way connect through you on Sundays. That is why I am asking about repeater and also your station. Over.
Okay, so let me ask, I'm sure there's someone out there, and perhaps I don't want to annoy Andy too much. I realize he's doing other things, but we have power backup of capability on our repeaters, right?
Andy?
WS2N.
Yes, Paul.
Yes, they have power backup. When we go through a storm or something, you know, the repeaters keep going.
Okay, very good. That was my understanding in the past, that they have power backups. Okay, so that's still the case. So that's question one. Question two is, theoretically, I have 60 meters capability. I have never tried. My fan dipoles are not really tuned to 60. So I'm not quite sure if my antenna tuner could tune the frequency. My radio certainly is capable of it, but my main antenna is an 80-40-20-15 dipole. So I'm not quite sure whether it's capable of tuning for 60.
Okay. Affirmative. So I got this information. But right now we have exercise. We only collecting information about capability of a repeater. And if you will ready work with us in the future, if we will have any emergencies, over.
Well, I'll be more than happy to help you. When it comes to the repeater, of course, you'll have to talk with the executive board. They're in charge of all these things.
Okay, Roger. So, really, we will not take a lot of time of your repeater. We will use it only during emergencies, only to exchange simple information, nothing more. So as far as I member of Limerick Club, I think it will okay. So over.
Well, as I mentioned before, usually it's the executive board. So my suggestion personally would be to send an email out to the president of the club, K2KNB. His email address is available on QRZ and elsewhere, and touch base with him because, you know, he's basically the guy running the show.
Okay, Roger. Okay, so it was just a question to try intercommunication between your net and the repeater, and now I see that the repeater is work fine for us, for me at least. So really I don't have more questions. You gave me all the information. So if you have more questions, I am ready to answer to your questions.
Well, I don't, Alex, but if there's anyone out there that does have any questions, please feel free.
QSTP.
Yes, Chris.
Hey, good evening, Roy. It sounded to me like Alex was looking to connect into the repeater in a different way, like through HF or something. So I just thought it would be worth mentioning that he could get in via EchoLink or one of the other IRLP, one of the other digital modes, but maybe that's not what he's looking at. I'm not sure.
Roger, it's M2G. The question, if somebody in community Limerick can work in high frequency in case of emergency. This question is over.
Okay, understood. Yeah, I think most of the people that belong to Limerick have HF capabilities as well, if that's what you're asking. And I certainly do. I know Roy does, and most of the folks out there do. So hopefully that answers your question. K2STP.
Okay, this is NT2G, so I got all the answers, thank you very much for your time. 73, and have a good night. Over.
Okay, 73, Alex. Nice to talk to you. Please, you know where we are. If you have any other comments or questions or what have you, feel free to come back and join us.
Roger. Thank you. Have a good night. Bye.
I have a question for Alex.
Okay, Wesley, ask Alex your question.
Yeah, I'm going to do this in Russian because maybe I will be able to understand better what is it about and eventually how the club could benefit from it. Alex, здравствуйте. Приветствую с праздниками. Вопрос такой. И ваш emergency network, он к чему создался? Пожалуйста.
Понял, спасибо. It's Army Mars, it's подразделение of Department of Defense, DOD. So in case of emergency, обмениваться информацией между локальными. So я представитель второго региона Army Mars CD, and now сейчас у нас есть учения по обмену информацией между сетями любительской и DOD. Over.
Thank you very much. He's in Army Mars. It's a military structure, and they have exercises right now with Department of Defense. So his question is very much in regards to cooperation of another club in case of emergency. Dr. Roy.
Okay, thank you very much, Wes. I kind of figured that out. You know, Mars is well known to me. There are a number of amateur radio operators who also hold Mars call signs, and they have these little operations and use interesting modes, and it's always interesting looking stuff up and finding out that for security reasons they do not publish for the most part their frequencies except when they're coordinating with, say, amateur radio operators, and they use amateur radio frequencies as well as their own Mars frequencies.
And to exchange. Okay. Алекс, значит, тебе надо связаться с главным в этой компании. Значит, Лаймарке. К нему написать так, как который говорю. Он ответит, и он принимает все решения. Там из Board of Directors, это большой клуб. Я не знаю сколько, но мне кажется, это было где-то 400 станций. Сейчас, может быть, стало меньше. Ну, хорошо, спасибо большое. С праздником. Это все.
Окей, Роджер. Thank you for this information. Of course, I will contact Board of Directors to explain everything to them. Well, thank you for everything, and hope we'll work together in the future. Over.
Okay, very good, Alex. I'm kind of surprised that our club is a rather big one. I think the last time I checked the numbers, it's 360, 370. I would imagine that we'd have at least one Mars operator among our membership.
Yes, of course, you have, as far as I know, at least two members that belong to Army Mars. But now we have first time this exercise between, inter-op exercise between Mars stations and AmateurNet. Over.
Okay, so this is partially information and partially the protocol of the thing that's going on right now. That part of this is to contact local repeater-based nets to ask about contacts in cases of emergency. So this is part of the whole plan for this test system this weekend.
Okay, Roger. So thank you for the time for this in this evening. No more questions, and I hope you will look in the future after I will contact Board of Directors. 73 for everybody, and have a good night. Over.
Okay, very good, Alex, 73. Let's move on to our next person, Sam, KD2NSJ. You said you had an antenna question. The technical net always loves antenna questions, so what is it?
Okay, Roy. I should know this, so don't say no, Sam, you should know. I was reading up about Hawaii, you know, Greystown. They say that the signal will come in and you can turn it sideways and pick the signal up. When your wire picks up a signal, does it pick up from the whole length of the wire from the side or from the point opposite where your connection is going to your radio?
Okay, it picks it up from the whole wire path. Most of the antennas that amateurs use are called standing wave antennas. What that means is that they're designed and cut to a certain distance so that both transmitting and receiving waves fit in whole half-wave intervals on the wire. And just like harmonics, you know, if you play a high frequency note on a piece of glass, you can shatter glass because it's resonant. So the way that it works is the currents are resonant in the length of wire, and on transmitting, that length of wire current is transferred to electromagnetic waves and radiate away. And in the reciprocal case of a receiving antenna, those electromagnetic waves induce a current in the wire that goes down your transmission line into your receiver's amplifier and detector and detects the signal.
That's what I thought. I think I talked to you about this before. But on this YouTube show, he had the wire. It's a new wire base, right? And he had it east to west. And he said, okay, now we're going to try it. I'm going to turn it around to go west to east to send a signal. So I'm thinking he's pointing it west to send the signal out, or he was pointing it to east to send the signal out. I was under the assumption that you're talking about the wire picks up the whole length of the wire. So I was confused.
AC2GS. Okay. The thing is that depending upon the type of antenna and whether it's resonant or non-resonant, and, you know, multiband or you know, much larger than it would, multiples of half waves is still resonant, but different configurations produce different patterns of radiation off of the wire. The most basic is a half-wave dipole that produces what most people call a sort of donut distribution, so that 2.15 decibels of gain happens on either side to the right angle of the length of the dipole. In other words, if the dipole is going, the wire of the dipole is going from east to west, there's a slight bit of gain from north to south, just because that's what dipoles do. And different designs have different radiation patterns that are affected, that you can then rotate them. If you take a dipole and you rotate it, you'll get a little bit of additional gain in the direction where the donut pattern is pointing. But if you have something with a much higher gain, like a Yagi, in which it's like a flashlight. It's like the difference between a light bulb in a fixture and a flashlight. The light bulb in the fixture tends to give you near what's called isotropic dispersion. It's 360 degrees across. From one side of the room to the other side of the room, the light's going to look pretty much the same. Whereas in a flashlight or a floodlight, there's a focusing reflector and a mirror, and so it squeezes all that light into a concentrated beam. So a Yagi will present you with that type of concentrated beam of radio waves, and then you just point it in the direction of the station you want to reach, and you have a better chance. So, you know, different antennas have different radiation patterns and different gains from isotropic, like a light bulb. And the ones that have high gain, it's very important, if you can, to build the antenna in the proper orientation to benefit the areas that you're interested in contacting.
Okay, I understand it now. It's not thorough, but I understand the pattern. Thank you, Roy, for taking time. Now when I read it, it'll all come through. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome, Sam, and we missed you. I haven't heard you on the TechNet for a couple of months, and I hope you're doing well, and I hope you're enjoying Easter, and I hope you'll come back and join us again.
Well, that was nice. Thank you so much. I've been okay. I've been listening every week, Roy, but I didn't have questions. You know, sometimes I had some puzzles, but the show went so long, I didn't want to tell you I had puzzles, because it was going to be the next time for the next person. So that's why I hadn't said anything. But I'm doing much better health-wise. I'm doing okay. And happy holiday to you, 82NSJ.
Well, thank you very much, Sam. Next on our list tonight is Gene. Hopefully I got this right, KC2GTL. Gene, I don't know what happened, but you're about 85-90% noise right now, and you weren't when you first checked in, so you might have moved away from the window if you're using an HD, or something's gone a little bit haywire.
You read me better now?
Yes, much better now.
Okay, I had a question. I'm starting to learn GW. I'm just wondering from the members, what are the recommendations for what course of coding site would be better than others? I don't mind spending time, I don't want to spend a lot of time.
Well, we have a few people out there, including our own Paul, who loves CW. I have tinkered with it personally. There is a very, very nearby Morse code club. One of its chief members used to be a regular here on the technical net, K2UPS. It's the Long Island CW Club. Have you looked at all at that site? They have a lot of source material on software and links and all kinds of good stuff.
That's exactly the answer I was looking for. I'll look at them first, and if I have any further questions, I'll come back on another.
Okay, very good, Gene. And you know, as long as we get to the topic of CW, and again, Paul would run rings around me with his understanding and knowledge of Morse code and such, but I just want to plead with everyone out there, under no circumstances, get a little card that has the Morse code written and memorize it visually, because I think that's the worst possible way to learn code. You should think of code as a cross between music and a foreign language. It's best to learn it by listening. You pick up the melody, you pick up the rhythm, and that's much, much better than sitting around and thinking in your head using flashcards and such and saying, let's see, that's a dit and a dot, a dit, harm. Because by the time that you've gone through that gymnastics, 15 words have already come and gone. So I hope that little bit of advice in general out there permeates, because every so often I've seen people handing out those damn Morse code cards, and I think that they're the worst method possible to learn how to actually receive and send Morse code. I don't know. I'd be interested, Paul, if you have any opinions on that.
The US-2N. I always like to listen to it about 15 minutes a day when I was learning, and even now when I'm older, trying to, you know, always increase my speed. That really helps. 15, 20 minutes a day, it's remarkable. You know, you get on W1AW, you could, they have times that, you know, if you go onto the ARRL site and look up W1AW, they'll you can download the times, the different speeds that they have, and, you know, 5 words a minute, 10 words a minute, and so on. You can listen to that. But or if you have an HF receiver, and you can listen to a random code here and there, and you do an average of 15 minutes a day. That really helps. And we have Ken. I think it's Ken KB2 WBC. He's still on frequency. He teaches this stuff now. So I don't know if Ken's there. Back to you, Roy.
Okay, to
yes, Tia.
Yeah, hi. I just recently stumbled upon a site called the Straight Key Century Club. And they have an area in there called the Beginner's Corner, and it looks very useful. So that's the SKCC. You can look it up on the web. And the website should come up. Let me see. SKCCgroup.com. SKCCgroup.com. Straight Key Century Club Group.com. And there's a little on the side, there's a lot of categories. And one is called Beginner's Corner, and it looks very helpful.
AWC.
Yeah, you gotta go to Ken.
Yeah, Ken.
Say something back. Back to you, Roy.
Yeah, Ken, please.
Okay, very good. You mentioned the Long Island CW Club. I am, as Paul mentioned, I am an instructor there. I teach a class that goes from 10 to 15 words a minute. And there are classes basically starting with beginners, folks who have heard of Morse code but really don't know it, and they go through the 40 characters, which are the 26 letters and 10 numbers and a couple of prosigns, and then they go from the beginner's class to intermediate classes, and then up through we have a QRQ, or an advanced class, where we're touching 30 to 40 words a minute, and we screw up a lot. And basically, website is Long Island CW Club. Everything's spelled out. And you can see all the classes, and they're all offered on Zoom many times a day to accommodate people all around the world. And, you know, you can start and go through expert levels.
KD2YYG.
Yes, YYG.
I don't know if the Morse code instructor may be able to speak to these, but there are some iPhone apps that have gamified the learning of it. I have one on my phone called Morse Mania from the Apple App Store that turns it into kind of a fun game you can play on the subway. KD2YYG.
Yes, Wesley.
I remember the good military school from Eastern Europe, so everything was under Russian terror, Russian system, I'm sorry, the Russian system for 45 years. They had one of the best Morse key operators. They were really good. And they did it only by melody to the characters, ladies and gentlemen. So I still remember tidi da 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 chichaka shashla, or ta ta tididit dai dai zakurich. So dai dai zakurich is like give me cigarette. So and that you never forget. So it was what, 50 years ago, and I still remember. And to exchange.
Comment.
Yes, feel free to comment.
KA2UCF, Gary. Absolutely, the learning Morse code is like learning music, and when you finally get proficient at it, you should approach it like sending it in a melodic kind of lilting way. Don't become a speed demon, because it's counterproductive. And I learned my Morse code just by tuning in 40 meters and listening to QSOs, two-way QSOs between CW operators. You could pick the speed that guys are going at and just listen in. And you might want to write it down, or you might want to just listen in your head. And that's usually very helpful. I don't know if there are novice bands anymore. I haven't been on for a while. But that's where I started. I listened to people sending it, 5 and 10 words a minute. And you copy QSOs, and it's an extremely good way to do it by actually listening to the thing live, and going on the band. And so that's my big two cents, KA2UTF.
No, I appreciate it, Gary. Here's a bit of trivia, and for people who hate Star Trek, please forgive me. But Star Trek actually had an episode in which CW was heard in the audio. Anyone want to hazard a guess what that episode might have been?
WS2N?
Yes, Paul.
Yeah, that was the one with the con, what was it, the Eugenics War? I forget the title of the episode, but that's the one that they had it.
Yes, indeed. It was called Space Seed. It was the basis for the second Star Trek movie. He came back and redid his character many years later. It was a well-received movie. And towards the very, very beginning of the episode, the thing that the Enterprise first caught was a signal coming out of space sending CQ, CQ, CQ. So, and you can hear it, actually. So that was a fun thing when I was a little kid to hear.
Comment.
Yes.
K2GJE, W1AW has fantastic signal in our area on 160 and 80. On 160, they're at 1.8025, and on 80, they're on 3.5815. They're on every night at different speeds, and the audio is fantastic. It's a great place to copy. You definitely have to go from the sound to the letter with nothing in between, over.
Okay, that's a good point, Ed. I have listened and attempted at times to copy from one W1AW. Where Paul mentions a very good point. The best way to keep able to work CW is to do a little bit of it every single day. It doesn't work if you pile up all the time once a week, because by the end of the week you've kind of lost three-quarters of what you gain. So that's always been my undoing. I'm much too distractible. So I'll do it for a couple of weeks, and then something else will happen, and I'll move to something else, and when I come back to Morse code, most of it is gone. But it's a fascinating subject, and it's having a second life. There was a lot of people very concerned when the FCC discontinued the requirement. They thought it was going to end and never be seen again. But my understandings are that the purchase of somewhat overpriced Morse code keys have never been better. And some of them are beautiful as heck. I have at least a few books that are sometimes called Morse code key porn, because they're rather glamorous images of beautifully made and crafted glorified switches. So it's a fascinating subject, and getting back to Gene's question, Yeah, I think your best bet is to seek out the Long Island CW Club, and there's so many links available through their website that you can't go wrong.
Last comment?
D2L James. First, I want to thank everybody. I think I had a great answer. I appreciate everybody's support.
Very good, Gene. Harry, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, final comment. And I am acquiring my straight key again after 20 years off the CW. But, and I'm sending to Italy for it, by the way. Some I2 call guy, Begali is his name. And he die-casts these beautiful camelback CW keys, nice and heavy with navy knob. Anyway, parenthetically, when this machine goes into net mode, apparently the CW ID for W2VL speeds up. So those of you who are copying it clearly, you're copying it about 25, 30 words a minute. And the other thing is, you said about the Star Trek episode, apparently not all our signals are bouncing off the ionosphere. Some of them must be escaping into space. So that means that they're traveling indefinitely long, and maybe they're going to be received by somebody out there. I hope that they've taken the Morse code class. And with that, I'm going to say 7-3, and thank you so much to Net Control, KATUTF.
Okay, very good, Gary. Yeah, Begali's website is www.i2rtf.com. Italian Morse code maker. It's a little family affair. They are beautiful keys. They are expensive keys. I have lusted over at least a few models, but never pulled the trigger on them. Because, you know, the highest end goes for something like $500, although there are people out there who charge more than that for their designer-style Morse code keys. So one of the things that that Dick used to mention was that radio waves never die. They just spin out farther and farther. So someplace out there in the cosmos are past episodes of the Limark Technical Net for those aliens curious about how people in Long Island spend their Sunday night.
Only 150 euros, right?
And taxi.
Oh, that, see, I mean, I don't know. That kind of would cause me to pause on that trigger. But Wesley, you wanted to say something?
You're right. About square root of the distance. Or inverse square law. Intuition.
Yeah, the technical net has discussed the inverse square law for a long, 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 long time. It's, you know, one of those interesting things. There's nothing inherently that causes an electromagnetic wave to just blink out of existence. It has to come into collision with some particle and be absorbed. Otherwise, it just propagates to the ends of the universe, given enough time.
Okay, I'm not holding you because you have probably some other guys who are waiting for their questions to be answered. And to you.
On our list is Joe, K2MUF. What is your question, comment, or topic tonight, Joe?
Hey, number one, how am I coming in? I know at the beginning you were having a problem hearing me.
Nice and strong, full quieting. Did you hear me, Joe? You're full quieting, nice and strong. Well, it looks like I gave poor Joe a Kanahara. Kanahara is, for you non-Yiddish people, is the evil eye when you say something good and the universe kind of checks its books and say, now that's too good, we got to do something about that. So I don't know what happened to Joe. His signal went from nice and clear and clean and full quieting to non-existent. So we'll drop the repeater for a few seconds and give Joe another opportunity to try his transmitter.
K2MUF. For some reason, I'm not hearing audio from the repeater. I'll have to check my radio. Thank you, guys.
Okay, if you're able.